did transcriptions. Now, that brought you fairly close to what was going on in the doctor's practice, didn't it?
Yes.
He
did not dictate.
Would they? He write out in longhand, mm-hmm. and then you would just retype?
Right, and I'd type it up for mm-hmm. him. Right.
Do you remember anything at all about what was in those reports?
No. Mm-hmm.
The usual thing, of course, would be a brief explanation of what the symptoms were, and then whatever medications might have been given surgery recommended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I never went to Dr. Moore, but I went. Dr. Moon was my doctor in future years.
Mm-hmm. When you say you work 5.5 days a week, I suppose that means Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. Was that common at the time to have most offices open 5.5 days a week of all kinds?
I think so.
Businesses were open.
The full time.
Montgomery Ward and Penny's and so on were open all day Saturday, weren't
right.
they? Right. That was probably the biggest shopping day of the week for many of them. Mm-hmm. And it was 8 to 5 every day?
Mm-hmm.
An hour off for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go for lunch?
Well, I have no idea. I know I went someplace.
The Sacagawea Hotel was there, of course, at the
yes.
time. Give me your impressions about that hotel, and maybe also about the coffee shop that was near it, or part of it.
Yes. The hotel was just beautiful. Just beautiful.
What made it seem beautiful?
Oh, it had, when you went in, that stairway that wound up into the second floor. Of course, that's the first thing you think of. The coffee shop, I was never way up. Heavens to Betsy.
You mean the guest rooms upstairs?
No, I was never up there.
Mm-hmm.
I was up on the second floor,
mm-hmm.
but that's all. In the coffee shop, when I became a Soroptimist, they met there in the coffee shop. And that's...
Can you describe that coffee shop?
Well, you came in, down this way and this way, and we met in the back.
Well, I mean, how it was set up, a counter, I suppose, and stools at the counter, tables?
I just remember tables. There may have been, because I never sat at the counter. I just remember tables.
Was there something about the counter that was forbidden? You?
No. I just didn't. I just didn't sit there, if there was one.
Mm-hmm. Was it light and bright?
Well, I enjoyed it.
How would it be different from a coffee shop that somebody might go into these days?
Well, I'm just thinking this one that's above where the bowling alley was. There's a coffee shop above that.
It's called Highway 30.
Is that what it
yes.
is? You can tell I don't go in there. And like this, and it's all right there. Oh, you can go upstairs, can't you? Up
yes,
on a balcony.
Yes, there's a little balcony. Or yeah. mezzanine, yes.
I've been up there.
But the Sacagawea Coffee Shop, is that what it was called? The Sacagawea Coffee Shop?
Mm-hmm.
Or, would certain parts of it, if we could see them now, perhaps seem old-fashioned?
No, I wouldn't think it was. we had booths when you first went in. Mm-hmm.
Made of wood?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so. I don't know. You know, see, that's the way it was, and I didn't question it. That was my life. I didn't question
it. I'm not suggesting you should have questioned it.
No.
Just that you would have noticed certain things about it.
Yeah. No,
You started, you didn't stay at the doctor's office very long.
No,
you?
I did not.
Because your next job was as, is this really true, head secretary at the high school?
Right.
A year after you graduated?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did head secretary mean there? That
well,
there
they had
three
one
others?
Secretary.
One.
Mm-hmm. Like what they have now.
But.
And I was it.
Yes. So, saying you were head secretary is the same as saying you were the secretary.
The secretary,
yes.
Right.
Was the work that you had been doing at the dental office sufficient to qualify you for that job?
I don't know.
I don't mean dental office. I mean doctor's
so.
Office.
I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. No, Lois Robertson was the secretary in the high school. And the secretary in the superintendent's office was going to take a 6-month leave of absence. So Lois went from the high school to there, so they needed someone in the high school. Lois was going with Bob Webb, who lived across the street from me, and so she came down and talked to me, and that's how I got it.
I'm beginning to think you never applied for a job in your life.
I don't think
so. It was all word of mouth.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Of course, you were well known here, so
well, yes,
you were
right.
Hardly a stranger in applying
no,
or asked
for sure.
Seeking employment. Your duties there, I should think, would have been considerably more numerous and difficult than they would have been at the doctor's office.
Oh, yes. You had so many more. And you had the students in there working for you, and I wrote it down someplace, but I haven't found it. And as I recall, I think I made about $57.50 a month for the high school, and I worked 5.5 days a week. Mm-hmm. I had to go back on Saturday to get out the bulletin for the next week. That was my main job.
That means type it?
Oh, yes. And run it off with the the mimeograph. That when you did like this, pretty soon the electricity would build up.
Static.
All right, static. And it would fly off. You had to go pick it up, the papers.
It could be fairly messy, too, because the ink got on your hands and
sometimes
all over the place, didn't
That's
it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Was this a one-page bulletin, usually?
It's whatever the principal wanted in there.
Right.
I don't know.
What were two or three of the main duties you had on the other days of the week?
Waiting on teachers. I laughingly say, sometimes, heavens, I can't even fix anything here. And whenever a teacher needed something fixed, she always brought it to me, and I had to fix it. That was one of my jobs.
What was one thing they would need fixed?
Shoot, I don't know.
A pencil sharpener?
Well, if it was not working, it probably was. Mm-hmm. Just anything that wasn't just working, they would come and I could fix it. Now I can't fix anything.
What did the teachers call you?
Dortha.
You looked like a student, didn't you?
Well, I was, almost.
Just a short few months ago, you'd been a
senior. I was
one. They all knew you.
Oh, yes. They all knew me.
Do they, any of them ever call you Miss West?
Oh, I don't think so. Not the teachers.
Or the principal?
No, I don't think so.
I should think in a more dignified environment, as schools were then, that calling employees by their last names, Mr., Miss., Mrs., would have been more customary.
It might have been. I don't remember anyone calling me. Oh, I do too. Remember one boy calling me Miss West.
Did you ever call the principal Bob or Joe?
Oh,
or
no, no, no. Mister.
But,
no way.
But he called you Dorothy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This boy, he was one that the teacher had, he had to make up time. And he was from Perry.
You mean disciplinary time?
Uh-huh.
He'd been a naughty boy?
I don't know. The teacher...
I'm just trying to figure out what you mean by make-up time.
Well, he either had to do work, school work, or make up time to sitting.
This was some form of punishment, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So he would... excuse me. This boy, he had missed his bus. That's when they had buses. And he was going to have...
38 or several years after that?
No, 38.
So the buses...
Well, anyway, I worked in the high school for 3 years, mm-hmm. one of those years.
Okay. So they brought buses in soon after you left the high school as a student?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Especially for more distant areas like Perry and...
Yes.
What? Down the valley,
Starkey.
Somerville, or they would
well,
be,
no, those,
they would have gone to Embler or Elgin.
Yes, mm-hmm. right. We had out in the valley here, but...
But Starkey?
Starkey. Mm-hmm. We had to miss. And this boy, he had missed his bus, and it was storming outside. And he said, no, I just couldn't stand to see him sitting there. And knowing he was going to have to walk to Perry. So I said, Ed, gather up your things and you go home. I shouldn't have done it, but I did.
You mean start walking earlier or
yes,
get a ride somehow?
It wasn't 5 o'clock yet. Yeah. And he was supposed to stay in my
yeah,
office.
You were releasing him before he should have been.
Right.
But what would be the reason for getting him going earlier?
Because he had to walk. He missed his bus,
yeah.
right? He was going to have to walk to Perry. The weather was terrible. And so when he went out the door, he called me Miss West. He says, oh, Miss West. I'll think of you tonight when I'm milking my cow.
That was another good reason for getting home as early as he could. His father would probably whip him if he didn't.
And I see him every once in a while. We speak. He still lives here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh. You never know what's going to come out.
In that case, you were disobeying of what... a rule.
That's right.
And so you were putting your job at risk, I suppose.
I suppose. I don't know. I just couldn't see that he was going to have to walk
out. Well, what would you have said if the principal or some other person at the school had called you on it? Why did you do that?
I would have told them why. It was because of the weather and he was going to have to walk.
And then... Suppose that person had said, but that was not your judgment. You should not have done that.
I would have stood there and taken it because that person would have been right. I had no right to let him go early. But I just... So. And another thing on the school. If you were married... I guess you could finish out that year, but then you couldn't work for the school district if you
that.
Were married. So, okay.
You assume that rule was primarily to pass the, or make sure that the relatively few jobs that were available were going to the people most likely to need the money. And the,
if you're head of the household.
The assumption was that married women didn't need to make any extra money.
Right. They had a husband to take care of them.
Yes.
Right. You hoped, or they hoped.
I mentioned, I asked you what some of your main duties were in the job. You mentioned the bulletin and occasionally sort of filling in as the authority figure in the office. What else?
Well, the teachers would bring their test material in for me to type up and run for them.
Mm-hmm. Did you get any pressure from any students to tell them what was on the test before they had to take it?
Oh, heavens no. Kidding. But when World War II came along, they were just lucky to have someone in the warm body in the chair. So that changed everything. And then teachers could marry.
This job as secretary of the high school was really your first opportunity to look at schools from an adult perspective and to begin perhaps to understand how schools are set up and what the relationships are among school districts. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, what knowledge did you have about one-room schools in Union County?
I didn't.
You knew they existed?
That's correct.
Did you know that there were many of them?
Not as many as there were. I didn't know.
How would you get any sort of information about what was going on in one-room schools?
Well, Pumpkin Ridge, I used to go out and visit my grandparents, and they would take me to the school programs. And that's all I knew about that. And I don't believe I ever visited a one-room school. Just what I heard.
Were you hearing stories about what it was like to be in a one-room school?
I don't recall any. I probably did, but I don't recall any.
Had any of your friends gone to a one-room school? Some of my high school friends, for instance?
No. Not my personal friends. We all lived on the north end of town.
Yeah.
And walked to school.
Some of the kids who had gone to one-room schools came to LeGrand High School and pretty intimidated, I think, about it, at least at first.
They probably were. Of course, I don't recall them being backward or anything like that in school. They were my friends.
Did you have any impression in your early years that perhaps having gone to a one-room school was an advantage over having gone to a school like Greenwood?
Never gave it a thought.
Okay. And in 1941, you became secretary to the superintendent of schools and the Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Was that because that position had become vacant and you were right there ready to fill it?
I told you that the secretary for the superintendent was taking us 6 months, and Lois, who was in the high school, was going.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Lois got pregnant.
No.
No?
She wasn't married yet.
Oh.
She couldn't marry. And work,
uh-huh.
because she would.
Well, why did she leave then, or move to a different job?
the lady who took a 6 months leave never returned. Mm-hmm. So Lois stayed mm-hmm. in the superintendent's office. Mm-hmm. And I continued in high school.
Yep.
And then Lois did get married, and that's when I moved into the superintendent's okay. office.
How was that job different from the high school secretary job?
Oh, the high school, you're interrupted with students and teachers and what have you. In the superintendent's office, that was entirely different. You dealt mainly with patrons and administrators. So, it's entirely different.
But you were also aware, because of the board meetings and the superintendent's communications, of what was going on in the grand school system,
yes.
weren't you?
I had to attend all the board meetings.
Yeah. So that gave you a very different perspective.
Of the whole school system.
Yes. Yeah. Well, can you remember some of your impressions of how the LeGrand school district functioned? An example would be what relationship the superintendent had with the principals. There are all sorts of strategies that a superintendent can use. He could be very authoritarian, very rigid, very demanding.
Or I never worked for one of those.
He can encourage team participation.
Okay, they did that.
Mm-hmm. Could you give me an example with one or two problems that arose that needed the combined effort of the administrators to come to a solution?
Well, they used to hold meetings, and I did not have to attend those when the administrators came mm-hmm. together.
They're sometimes called superintendent's cabinet meetings.
Well, it could be, mm-hmm. but that's not what they were.
This would have been the elementary school principals, the high school principal, and the superintendent.
Yes. And then we had directors.
School directors.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And they came.
But can you remember a problem that the administrators needed to solve and what they did to solve it?
Maybe
not from your direct observation, but from some of the correspondence or written materials that went out?
I don't recall anything right off the hat. Mm-hmm.
Were budget problems severe then?
Always. Yes. We budget was always high priority.
What would the superintendent say about the budget problems?
I don't know. He had his fingers on the problem. Mm-hmm. And each school didn't spend beyond what the superintendent thought they should. Mm-hmm. Nor the directors. Directors would have just so much money to run their department.
Oh, do you mean directors of music and athletics and that sort of
uh-huh.
thing? I thought you meant school directors, the board members.
No. Okay. No, these are the teachers. Mm-hmm. They're certificated.
Yeah. What were the sources of the budget at that time, the money for the budget?
From the people, taxes.
Some came from local taxes and some came from the state.
State.
More from local than from state?
I don't know.
Were there special levies?
Oh, yeah. For different things.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of process would the superintendent and the principals go through to decide when there should be a special levy and for how much?
Well, when they ran out of money.
Which was how often? Every year?
No. They kept a tight rein on their spending.
What would cause them to run out of money if they had the budget all established at the beginning of each school year? some unexpected expenses?
Yeah, but I can't think of any right now.
I can think of maybe some damage to buildings that would have caused additional expenditures.
Right.
But probably not for instruction.
No. The thing that always amazed me was when they were talking budget, maintenance was low priority. Mm.
Yes, that's distressing.
I know it. And then all of a sudden, things started falling down, and then they had to come out with it. But maintenance was always the last thing.
Did you get around to look at some of the other school buildings during that time?
No.
You didn't? Not even on your own time?
No.
Was it your impression that some of the buildings were looking shabby?
No. I didn't go
right. Well, where were they shortchanging maintenance? Janitorial services? Or you
that
mean
would
things
be
like
fun.
Fixing downspouts and painting the outside?
Right.
Which?
Things that were wearing out inside,
mm-hmm.
didn't get fixed until they had to be fixed.
Not the furnace, I hope.
Oh, no. For the rubber hose. painting.
Yeah.
That be one thing that would be low priority.
Do you remember teachers complaining about low salaries?
No, not to me.
Well, I don't mean that they would come directly to you, but
no.
If you kept your ears open, you would hear rumblings, I would think, if teachers were dissatisfied, which they usually are.
Yeah, I know. Nothing like they are now. I can't believe it.
Well, and maybe they just kept it to themselves more. And, of course, they didn't have a union then, did they?
No. And most of them were glad to have a job. As all of us were.
Were there any times when the superintendent needed to call a teacher in for some kind of disciplinary action or misbehavior or incompetence? Anything like
not
that?
That was, I suppose they did.
They kept it from you if they did?
Pardon?
They kept it from you if they did?
Yes, because they had to go by my desk into the superintendent's office and they closed the door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall the superintendent. I had wonderful bosses.
So you had the impression at the time that everything in LeGrand schools was, as we might have said then, hunky-dory.
Just the best that it could be with what we had.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, yes. I had some wonderful superintendents.
You recall anything about relationships with the local newspaper, so far as school matters were concerned? Did you get reporters from the Observer up to the superintendent's office ever?
Very seldom.
Did reporters cover school board meetings?
Not very often.
They just depended upon the Tiger highlights to know what
was
going on.
Is
that it?
No, I don't think that was it, but...
Do you think most people in LeGrand were seemingly satisfied with what was going on in the schools and maybe thought it was none of their business to come and complain about anything?
No, I think they knew they could come if they had something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The door was always open. Sometimes it would close after they'd get in there, but...
You mean the superintendent's office door?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
What was his name at the time you were working there?
Which one?
Well, when you first had that job at the...
Fred Patton was the first one. And I dearly loved him. And I can't tell you all of them. I think I had 8.
Well, you worked in that job off and on for quite a number of years.
Yes, so I did.
You would, yes.
From 52. Oh, that's when I came back. I came back in 52.
Yes, because you first took the job, you said, in 1938.
Right. No, that was a principal in the high school. I worked 3 years at the high school.
41 is when you became the secretary to the superintendent.
Right. And then in 42, I got married.
Tell me who Herb Voris was.
Well, he's the grand boy.
Had you known him throughout your earlier school years?
He belonged to the Baptist Church.
He was considerably older than you?
3 years.
Well, why wouldn't you have known him in LeGrand then, before you married him?
Our paths didn't cross.
Huh. Wasn't he at LeGrand High School when you were?
Yes, but...
He was old enough so you didn't have anything to do with him, huh?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Were you aware of him?
No.
What did you know about his background? Why his parents came here and what they did?
I knew nothing about that.
What did you find out later?
His folks. Well, the Borses came over here from Switzerland.
With the Fleshmans? With the Fleshmans or the Hoffmans?
No.
I think it was the Hoffmans who came from Switzerland.
Was it?
Dorothy Fleshman's parents.
Oh, really?
I guess not her parents. Her name was Swart.
Swart, yeah.
But there were several families, I think, from Switzerland who came. Would this have been, do you think, in the latter part of the 19th century? Or early 20th? That group of people would have come here?
I don't know.
Well, I suspect it was in the 1890-1900 period, or thereabouts.
Mr. Voris was a railroader, and he didn't smoke, and he worked in the office, and there were a lot of smokers. So he went out, he did switching to get away from the smoke. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking across the railroad tracks and seeing Pop down, way down there with his lantern, and he'd always wave. After I graduated from high school, I started to go to the Baptist Church, and that's where I met her. At the church. And he told me later, his Sunday school class sat in the choir, and my Sunday school class was in the back of the sanctuary. And he said, when he saw me, he made up his mind he's going to marry me. And I didn't know that. It was all over. Because we went together 4 years before we were married. Uh-huh.
What was he working at after high school?
He went to Eastern Oregon.
University of College at that time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
To be a teacher?
I just went for sports. Oh. Really. Mm-hmm.
Well, that drew you together, I'll bet.
He would eventually been a... He finally, after all many, many years, got his degree. But when we lived in Great Falls, Montana, he went to night school up there.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went down to Linfield and went to college down there in sports.
Oh, you were married shortly after the United States declared war on Japan and entered the war in Germany. What information were you getting and how were you getting it about the war? That would have been a concern to you, I think, at that time.
Yes, because he was in. He went in the service in 41.
Was he drafted?
No, he enlisted because he had a low draft number, and he knew he'd be one of the first ones to go, mm-hmm. and he wanted to select where he wanted, what he wanted to do. So he enlisted in the Air Force.
It was the Air Force. But what else were you hearing or learning about the war or the prospect of war at that period?
Well, Pearl Harbor was a terrible thing.
Did you get news primarily from the radio?
Yes. No TV.
No.
No.
Did you listen to news on the radio a lot?
Not much. Mm-hmm. Didn't pay that much
attention at all. Were you reading reports in the Observer or in possibly the Oregonian or the Oregon
Not
Journal?
The Oregonian, the Observer.
Didn't you get Portland papers?
We didn't.
Hmm. You should think there would have been some of them in the school offices.
But you didn't have time to read the paper.
I see. I guess you were just getting fragmentary reports about the
right.
war then.
Right.
Were you worried? Particularly because he was likely to be drafted or wouldn't
no.
enlist?
I don't remember being worried. I don't know.
Wasn't the war a topic of conversation around town?
It could have been, but not where
Passed
I
you
was.
By?
Not where I was, in the church.
Mm-hmm. You weren't getting any graphic accounts of,
no.
the war, of Pearl Harbor? Or you got the description on the radio.
Right.
But
that's all.
Didn't impress you very deeply?
I don't know that it impressed me enough to really understand what it meant. To us.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably many people at the beginning didn't
no.
understand, but
no.
soon after they began to understand.
Yes, they did. So many things, you know, when you're younger, you just take what it is, and you really don't worry too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
You think, well, there's not much I can do about it. But with Herb in the service, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Were activities in the Grand between the time that you married him and then the time you went to join him in California? Were you getting the sense in Le Grand that people were paying more attention to the war and the consequences?
Oh, yes, of course. Because more people were being drafted. Children, mm-hmm. young people, not
mm-hmm.
children.
Yeah.
It was touching more lives.
Mm-hmm.
The war was touching more
lives. Was there anything visible around Le Grand? Connected with the war?
Right offhand, I don't remember.
Did you see more American flags, for example?
I don't recall that.
Did you hear anything about the draft board in Union County?
Oh yeah, you knew the draft board. Because that was affecting people my age,
mm-hmm.
the boys. not to young people, young ladies.
Women, young women could enlist at that time.
Yes, they
could. They weren't
being
drafted, of course.
No.
Where was the draft board located?
I have no idea.
Did you know anybody who was on it? Mm-hmm. Even by reputation? Mm-hmm. Any idea how the members were selected?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
Now, isn't
it's
that
a mystery, eh?
Yeah, but as far as I was concerned, I don't even know where the draft board was.
Do you remember when rationing began?
Oh, yes,
and when
I do.
You had to get coupons to purchase just about anything.
Right. You had to, for shoes, in order to get shoes, sugar.
Mm-hmm. How did you get your ration coupons?
I can't even tell you that. I know the coupons never did affect my family life because we always had enough coupons to, we didn't, a lot of people had to go down and get more and more and more. But now was coffee rationed?
Yes.
And see, we didn't drink coffee, so that, and the sugar, of course.
Gasoline.
Now that would be the only thing that was, but still, when we lived back east in Delaware, we had enough gasoline. We went up to New York City. Neither one of us had been up there. And we went down to Washington, D.C. to see some of my relatives. So we still went everywhere we went, wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
But Herb was flying so much. And he never left the car home. He always took the car to the base.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't use any gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
So we always had plenty of gas.
Mm-hmm. When you were still here in La Grande, can you remember going into a store and using some of these ration coupons?
No.
You were doing your own shopping, weren't you?
Yes. Sugar would be about the only thing that, but I don't do. So far from my mind, I don't even think about it. And I don't ever remember running out of anything. I always had enough coupons that.
Apparently, then, in the early part of the war, anyway. It didn't affect your life in any way?
No.
Any memorable way, anyway?
No, really, it didn't. The only thing was Herb was in the service.
Mm-hmm. Did you start noticing that there were fewer males around town?
Heavens, no. That was the least of my worries.
Well, not that you would worry about it particularly, but
no.
You might notice that
no.
The proportion of male to female had changed.
No, I didn't pay it. I don't recall that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I could have,
mm-hmm.
but I don't recall that
mm-hmm.
I did.
Was there much talk that you heard around the schools about being drafted or going into military service?
No. I don't recall them doing that either. Of course, when I was in the superintendent's office, I wasn't with kids
right.
to talk about
mm-hmm.
the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I was dealing with adults.
Mm-hmm.
That made a difference, I think.
Oh, yes.